We're here today at the International Swimming Hall of Fame in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, USA, to talk to an author and a translator of a book that's been newly translated from Norwegian into English. And I have with me today here the author, Terje Stakset, and the translator and swim teacher as well in her own right, Mr. Toril Hindmarch. And welcome and to the Hall of Fame here. And we're here to talk about your newly translated book. Terje, tell me the name of your book and when you first wrote it originally in Norwegian.
Yeah, the title is Swim with Love. And I first wrote this in 2010. I took some months free from work and traveled to south of France and used some months to think about what will the baby tell us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you, the main purpose of the book, do you have a main message that you had hoped to convey in the words and the photos?
Yeah, I have in this book there is no photos of babies underwater. So the message is you don't have to submerge babies to get them adjusted to water.
They can learn to love the water without that initially.
Much better.
And Toril, you tell us about your background. We'll come back to Terje in a moment. As far as swim teacher and that, just briefly, what your background in swim teaching is.
Yes, well, I've been involved in baby swimming since 1977, but developed baby swimming programs in Norway in the early 1980s based on a play and pedagogy, using a lot of songs and movement, and been involved in starting up different clubs in life-saving, and really followed babies up from babies to toddler to teenagers, then doing life-saving and life-saving sport. So I've covered quite a wide spectre, and it's given me a very good background, and I've also seen what the methods did to the babies, how they were when they got older. And when we've changed the methods, then how that affected
the
children as they got older. So,
well, you're quite a good pair to do this. We know that in translation at conferences and that sort of thing, the translator needs to be familiar with sport, or in this case, particularly with swimming, and not just strictly a language word-for-word translation. They need to appreciate what's the subject matter, I guess.
This is so true, because some of the things that I've had to translate in this book are things to do with also emotions and feelings, and when we're talking about babies, you want to promote a certain idea, and if you do the direct translation in Norwegian to English, sometimes a lot of that is lost if you do word for word, so mm-hmm. you really have to know idiomatic speech, so, and that's, I have a background.
The subtleties of that, yeah. Well, Terje, a number of, I've heard many times over the years, swim teachers say, I should write a book. Or in some cases, teachers who became very famous due to television or in magazines, their programs were shown to the public. But quite often they say, I should have written a book. I never did that. But what advice would you give to swim teachers who think they might want to write a book? How did it go for you? And if you had any words of advice, what would you share with them?
If they thought of writing a book, they should try. But it's not so very easy when you start. Mm-hmm. You rewrite and throw it away and rewrite again. And when you think you're finished with writing, you have to got this book published. Mm-hmm. And that's a huge job.
The publishing, yeah.
Yeah.
And you, what was your routine? You mentioned going to the south of France and writing. What was your daily routine, or what was your plan in how to get the book completed as far as being written?
Yeah, the routine was that my wife was also there, so she was painting during the day, and I was writing. So it's up early in the morning and some writing, and then go out for some coffee and back and write more. And so we had two or three periods per day.
Mm-hmm. With two or three pages a day?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was your goal?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Good. And you lined it out on paper, I guess, before, as your, we'll say chapters, but the sequence.
Yeah.
Yeah. The message, as I say, swim with love. How do you find in your own home country, how is that the norm or not the norm? And then you've traveled and spoken at a variety of conferences. How do you think it is in other places of the world? And in other words, how does the book Swim with Love, how would that be well applied to students in other countries as well as Norway?
I think the title seems better into English.
Oh.
With Swim with Love in the Norwegian title, because in Norway they are not so used to use the word of love in Norwegian. They use it, but not so often as in US.
Mm-hmm.
So here the message I have, the love, the title,
mm-hmm.
was the message.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good. Well, how was it for you, Terrill, in translating? You already mentioned that you had to work hard to get the subtleties of the meaning of what was trying to be conveyed, the emotion and the flavor and weight of things into to English. What challenge did you really encounter, if any?
Well, I did. I had a plan doing work every morning, and in that course of the morning, I would probably ring my sister and another good friend and colleague to try and help me with a few expressions, because mm-hmm. It was very difficult at some times.
To understand the Norwegian expression and then to roll it to a comparable one in English.
Yes, and to get the same message about the swimming, about the way you were going to handle the child, to get that included
mm-hmm.
In the text. So, mm-hmm. But I think for me, once I got involved in it, because I know Terje, we both have instructor courses together, and I know his message, and it's very close to what I like to promote. So once I got working on it, it just rolled out. After a short period, it just rolled out very quickly. So it was a good process, and I really enjoyed doing it.
Actually. Yeah. Mm. Well, Terje, tell me, if I perhaps should have asked you at the beginning to explain a little bit about your background and current position and work.
Yeah.
Outside of the book.
Yeah, outside of the book, the manager of the Norwegian Life Saving Society in Oslo. So there I'm dealing with life-saving courses and first aid and baby swimming.
Mm-hmm. In the programs that way.
Yeah.
And Terrill, for you now?
I'm working at the head office for the Life Saving Society and working on the educational programs and arranging instructor courses and developing the literature for the instructor courses. And actually, when we get students coming on these courses, nearly all of them say, oh, well, I've read Terje's book.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a good help for us, because they have had that background, because it is easy to read and easy to understand even before you're an instructor, because it talks about just how you treat each other, how you listen to your child, and how you're going to communicate, and these essential little things that it's quite easy to pick up. So
okay, I wanted to ask before I let you go, both some insights for students as well as for parents. To parents who might be listening, or to parents who might see your book and pick up your book, if you had to boil down some things for parents, an important idea or two that they might remember as they perhaps just begin to get their children in, their young children into the water, is for each of you, Terrier, if you'd start, just what would you like to say to parents, you know, a main idea of embarking upon water activity with their child, eventually leading to swimming?
They have to go slow. They have to communicate with the child all the time and listen to the child. And then they will succeed,
and things,
I think.
Things will move. Yeah. Darrell, anything for important things for a parent embarking upon the swimming, learn to swim journey?
Yes, well, small steps and play and sing. And when Terry says listen to your child, it's not always the verbal listening, it's the body language and understanding the response time, which is even more important. So that's what I would
advocate. Now, you both have and continue to speak at a variety of educational conferences, and you're talking to other teachers and directors of Learn to Swim programs or aquatic programs for young children. And I think you've made the point that just because they're 6 months old doesn't mean their job one that day is to learn to swim, that it's a journey, a process. But what, speaking to your peers as far as swim teachers or program directors, some of whom may be new, either new as a director or new as a teacher, and they see perhaps a lot of variety out there in different programs and the way they're conducting their program. Is there a sentence or two of advice that each of you would give to perhaps a new teacher or your fellow teachers and peers about, you know, working with babies and young children? Terrell, you want to?
Yeah. Well, I would say that be open for change and be open to new ideas and observe the child. Every child is different, and you cannot. You've got to make your program not how you would like the child to be shaped, but you've got to shape your program towards the child and learn. The child will teach you just as much as you're teaching the child.
Yeah, and then I said, then they have to buy my book, because everything what Toril said, they will find in the book. So
the
would help.
Right. Starting off as a new teacher, I think a lot of teachers have said that they start teaching the skills in that, and then as they go along and they meet other people or learn from the children, then they're they begin to develop a philosophy of how they're going to approach children. And if they become the owner of their own program or are hired to be the director of a program, that philosophy then shapes the things that they do on a daily basis.
But it's not what you teach, it's how you teach. And that is
the baseline there. And how you teach that. Because we find sometimes at conferences, don't we, that people will say one thing and this is what they do. And if you actually go there, it might be a bit different. Even, but it's not that they're trying to be deceiving, but it's just that sometimes programs go along and they don't, you know, there can be variation, and especially if there's other people teaching, I guess. But you, but getting that philosophy, it seems to me that your book would be quite helpful in getting a sensible philosophy from which to then proceed, not only as a teacher working day to day, but as a program director. That if you're going to establish a program and create a program, that you have some philosophy base, because you just seeing what someone else does, you don't know why they're doing that or how they came to do that.
I think in that book, what is the child's perspective comes across very strongly. Very often we talk about the child perspective, but it's the adult perceiving what the child's perspective might be. And we had to take a step back, and I think Terry gets that across in the book.
Because so many other books perhaps talk about the swimming skills and to do this with your hand or do this with your feet and that. They're talking about swimming skills and not thinking about the student, and in this case, a baby or younger child. You go ahead.
Yeah, and you have to teach with your heart. I think, would you say they have a program, but they show a video, it's something quite different. They have only used their head and not their heart.
Okay. Well, that's very good. That, I think we'll end on that note, and we wish you the best on the book. And it'd be quite nice that it's available in English as well. And we'll continue to see you on the speaking circuit at conferences and that sort in the time to come. And again, best wishes and good luck with the book.
Thank you.
Thank you.